Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour two here of Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. We would love for people to give an opinion, give a thought, give their take in regards to our next topic. And it's a very simple topic because as basketball fans here, you know, when you look at the two people that have meant so much to this town, this area, and the two franchises between the Minnesota Lynx and the Minnesota Timberwolves, that will be Kevin Garnett and Lindsay Whalen. And Lindsay Whalen's been in the news this week, clearly, because her jersey, her number is about to be retired this summer with the Minnesota Lynx on June the 8th when they face the LA Sparks, which I love. I love that the Sparks are the team. That's the opponent that's going to be in town when we put her jersey up in the rafters. But she's been the face of not just women's basketball, but basketball here in Minnesota. But also the other face, though, because we know that from the perspective of NBA basketball and globally what's gone on with different dream teams for years, that Kevin Garnett's a major name, okay? Kevin Garnett is one of the best basketball players of our time, and he goes down as one of the greats. There's no question in my mind that he's one of the top 30 NBA players that I've seen, okay? Definitely top 50, because, you know, typically that's the threshold right there, right? We say top 50. Every decade or so, they'll say, okay, this person's in the top 50, right? So he's definitely top 50. I think he could be higher than top 50. You could say maybe top 30. But that's just based on my opinion. That's what I think. But when it comes to Kevin Garnett and what he did with the Wolves and his time in the NBA, and when you look at Lindsay Whalen and what she did in regards to her time in the WNBA, who was the bigger star in their league? Who was the bigger star in their league? Was Lindsay Whalen a bigger star in the WNBA, or was Kevin Garnett a bigger star in the NBA? Love to get your thoughts, perspective, opinion. 651-989-9226. This is actually a good question that you posed to me last night.
Yeah, and I did a little research, which we can get to in a minute, but my knee-jerk reaction, just based on our conversation last night, is I said that Lindsay Whalen is top 15 in WNBA history, and Kevin Garnett is top 25 in NBA, that he'd kind of be in that next tier. Yeah, I maybe will question that, and I did a little bit of research, but that was kind of my knee-jerk reaction, is that Lindsay Whalen was a bigger star in her league than Kevin Garnett was.
Okay. Now, do you still stand by the top 15 with her? Because I didn't agree with you on that. I love Lindsay. I love Lindsay Whalen. No, don't confuse anything in this conversation as not loving Lindsay. I absolutely love her. One of her biggest fans. As much as I do love her, though, I can't go to that stretch. Now, if we're going to say top 25, top 30, I could, yes, without question.
So then you're saying the same things about Lindsay Whalen and Kevin Garnett. You're saying they're really close.
I think that they're close. This is the only thing about it, though. Okay. This is the reason why I give the slight edge to KG. This is the reason why I give him the slight edge. And when I say slight, I'm talking about barely, is when I look at them at their peaks, when I look at Kevin Garnett at the top of his game, okay, and I look at Lindsay at the top of her game, I see that he, at one time, was the best player in the world. That's why I separate him just barely. Now there's things that she was able to do that he was never able to do. She's got rings. She's got rings. Kevin Garnett doesn't have rings, right? But now, she had help. She did have Simone. She did have Rebecca. She did have Maya. So she had better teams that she was a part of. But I think they're right there together. They're right there. They both are on the same, pretty much the same level. But when I say Kevin Garnett, the best at his peak, how good was he? And at her peak, how good was she? At one point in time, he was the best player in the world when he won MVP. And that's where I might give him the slight advantage. Might. Yeah. Just might. But she's got the rings. Ultimately, she's got the ring. Now, he's got a ring. He won a ring with the Boston Celtics. He doesn't have rings, plural. She's got rings, plural. And he's got a ring. All right, let's take a quick phone call. Or anybody that wants to call, 651-989-9226. Let's take a phone call from Greg and Blaine. What's up, Greg?
Hey, I was going to say Kevin, just because Lindsay had a lot more supporting cast than Kevin did for what they each did for their respective teams.
That is the one caveat to the conversation, Greg. I see what you're saying, and I just said the same thing right before you hopped on. I look at their supporting cast, and I look at the teammates that KG had. I mean, for a long time, Kevin Garnett didn't have anybody that he could really work with. You know what I'm saying? And when we thought, like, remember initially before they went through that stretch where they had Sam Cassell on the trail, what do we think was going to happen with Kevin Garnett? We thought that Kevin Garnett was going to get to the promised land and get to an NBA Finals with who? We thought it was going to happen with Stephon Marbury. But then Stephon Marbury started whining and getting all upset and started worrying about money and a big contract. And then what did he end up doing? He wanted out, and then we shipped him out, right? So during the course of that time, from that moment when Steph left to the time in which we went to the Western Conference Finals that one year, I felt like his supporting cast wasn't that good. So that is one of the key things I look at when I try to decide between the two.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, for Greg and Blaine checking in. He believes that KG slightly has the edge. Slightly has the edge just because of the supporting cast.
Yeah, I still go back to success. And when the light was shining brightest, Lindsey Whalen had significantly more success than Kevin Garnett.
But with better players, though. Some people say that Maya Moore is one of the top five best basketball players, women, female basketball players ever live. Maya Moore, who's not playing for the Lynx this year, hopefully she'll come back. But people say that. Simone Augustus. Put it like this. There are some people that say that as much as we love Lindsay, and she's one of us, that when they went on their run of championships, that Lindsay wasn't the best player on the team.
Yeah, that could be, but let's go to some of the stats that I pulled up here.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at scoring, just who's higher on the list of all-time scoring, sure, maybe Kevin Garnett for a season of his career was the best player on the planet. But over the course of his work, of his career, he's the 17th all-time scorer in the NBA, and Lindsey Whalen is the 14th all-time scorer in the WNBA. So, you know, maybe for seasons or for portions, Kevin Garnett was the best player in the world. But still, even though she had a supporting cast that was also scoring a lot of points, she is higher on that list than Kevin.
This is where it gets skewed, though. All right, I'm sorry, I got to do this to you. One league has way more teams, and one team has way more players, and one league has much more tradition and history. In this country, there's a lot more that Kevin Garnett. If you look at his numbers from a numbers perspective, what he did, that's sheer greatness. Now, this is not knocking Lindsay because she's greatness in herself too. But when you start ranking them, look at all the people that you have to sift through when you look at KG's numbers. That's remarkable. He was a 15-time All-Star. 15. He was. There was another nugget that I saw. He is one of four NBA players to win both the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. One of four. That's pretty remarkable. And this is not a knocking one or the other. This is just You're just talking about two greats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so I understand, and I kind of thought that might come up as one of the arguments in this debate, but I think you have to go to the original question. In their respective league, Lindsay can't help that she's competing in the league she's competing in.
Agreed.
So in their respective league, who's the bigger star? If that's the question, I'm sticking with Lindsay.
Okay. All right. I can see, hey, and this is, and it all depends on how you phrase the question and what is the question. When it comes to who is the bigger star in their league, I would say that KG was probably just slightly a bigger star. If it was a different question, and the question was, who was the bigger basketball star in the state of Minnesota? It's Lindsey Whalen.
Well, yes.
Hands down.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's a different question for a different day.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying?
Totally, because Kevin Garnett didn't play his college ball here. Kevin Garnett's not still here coaching in the state. So certainly Lindsay wins.
But even just based off of playing here, I think that what she was able to accomplish here, because KG, he won a ring. It wasn't here, though.
That's right.
He won his ring in Boston. She won her rings here. So that's, to me, that's the difference maker between the two.
She's also got two gold medals.
Yep. And I think he has, I think he just has one. I'm pretty sure KG was on one of those teams that did he get an Olympic gold? I have to double check that. I know he was on one of those dream teams. One of those dream teams that he was on, they didn't fare too well.
He has one. Kevin Garnett has one Olympic gold medal in Sydney in 2000.
Okay. All right. They're two goats, though. They are phenomenal.
I feel like rather than getting an answer to our question, we've just clarified that these are the top two. And it's tough to distinguish.
And I'll say this. If you ask me the question about who would you rather hang out with, who do you admire more, it's not even close. It's Lindsey Whalen.
Yeah.
I once had a slight issue with Kevin Garnett in the locker room once. I've never had no issues with Lindsey. None.
She also has the benefit of being one of us, being a true Minnesota girl, and that's endearing to those of us who follow.
No question about it. All right, when it comes to the apparel business, when it comes to jerseys, and I haven't bought a jersey in a while, and I know I've talked about maybe possibly buying a new Twins jersey. When it comes to the jersey game, is there one specific element to buying jerseys nowadays in 2019 that people care about? I'll explain, and we'll dissect that coming up next year on Late Night. I need a new Twins jersey. And I'm not the biggest jersey guy. But I do need, to me, of all the jerseys out there, the jersey that I need is a baseball jersey. To me, that's the best-looking jersey to rock, especially in the summertime, right? Like, you're not walking around rocking a sleeveless basketball jersey, right? I've seen guys at Target Center when I'm going to go work out in Lifetime, and I see there's a couple of guys that rock a bunch of the basketball. I'm dead serious. They rock the basketball jerseys, right?
A basketball jersey is only a good look when you are playing basketball.
Okay. I agree with you. You would never catch me uptown just walking up and down Hennepin or Lindale or Lake, and I got a Kevin Garnett jersey on or whatever, right? That just doesn't, I'm good. So I'm not going to be rocking a basketball jersey like that. A football jersey, what are your thoughts on football jerseys?
I don't mind football jerseys. I have a few, but I wear them on game days or on Super Bowl Sunday, and
yep,
that's about it.
That's the correct answer, at least in my opinion. I will only wear, because I still have some, I haven't worn my football jerseys in a while, but I still have a couple of authentic football jerseys in my closet. I will only rock them, though, and I haven't worn them probably in like 4 or 5 years, but I will only wear them during football season.
Yeah.
Only on like a game weekend, I'll wear it specifically then. I won't wear it in the summertime. I won't wear it during, basketball season or anything like that. So football jerseys only during football season, okay? So that's football, that's basketball. What about hockey? I do not have a hockey jersey. I've said to myself I was going to get a hockey jersey. I just have never put my mind to it and said I'm going to go ahead and shell out the dollars. I like the Minnesota Wilds jerseys. I haven't purchased one. I just don't know when I would win wear a Wild jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, other than going to the X, I'm not wearing it out.
No.
I don't think that's my style. The one style that I absolutely could get with, I think that you can wear a baseball jersey year-round. I think you can get away with that.
It's a sharp look.
It's a sharp look. You can wear a baseball jersey year-round. And if anybody disagrees, you're more than welcome. 651-989-9226.
So what baseball – I'm totally with you, and I'm actually in the market for a baseball jersey as well. What baseball jersey would you get right now?
Well, I had mentioned this when we first started the show, and we were talking about the Twins as the season was getting ready to start. I think that right now, if someone said, Lake, we're opening up Target Field and just tonight we're gonna be open for a couple of hours, come down here, pick out your favorite jersey. I'm going with the Maurer jersey.
Okay.
I haven't decided who on the roster right now is my guy right now. I don't know that it's Buxton. I don't know that it's Polanco. I don't know who that is. But in terms of who do I absolutely know that I'm a fan of and who's been a classy guy and who's one of us, that's Joe Maurer. So I probably end up with a Joe Maurer jersey to answer your question. But the reason why I bring this up is because I saw this article today, USA Today, in regards to U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents. They came up with and intercepted illegal cargo at the Port of Philadelphia. And what did they find? 314 counterfeit Bryce Harper Phillies jerseys that they've grabbed since opening day. The jerseys were dispatched from Hong Kong and bound for Delaware. Pennsylvania and New Jersey customs agents said, if authentic, their value would have been $44,040. That's for 314 authentic jerseys, right? These are counterfeit. These are bogus, okay? They're not real. So it brought to my mind the question of, do people care anymore about wearing authentic jerseys? Because I have come across people that have had some really cool jerseys, and I said, oh, man, that's pretty cool. That nice jersey. Where'd you find that? Oh, he says it's fake. It's not real. And I'm like, what? It looks authentic. And they're like, no, that's not real, though. I paid like $20 for it. I am somebody, I can't go that route. In my mind, I can't, like, there's something in my mind that just won't let me wear a jersey that I know is fake. Right? I can't go there. Like, I want to, when it comes to investing my money into an athlete and supporting them and putting that jersey on my back, there's a part of me that says, you know what? I just can't wear a fake jersey. That's not my deal.
Now, there's two different.
There's a lot of people that don't care, though. And we're not talking about replicas.
Okay.
We're not talking about replicas versus authentic. We're talking about these are passed off as actual authentic jerseys.
Sure. So
that's what the U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents, that's what they snag, not replica jerseys. Because everybody knows a replica jersey is not the same identical jersey that a player wears on the field.
So you're saying fake in terms of you're getting a better deal on a jersey that looks authentic, but they're skirting the law. The player that you're trying to support gets none of that money. The team gets none of that money.
Yeah, it's not from the actual manufacturer. So like, for instance, you know, let's say that, because right now in the National Football League, the jerseys are put together by Nike. Let's say that jersey that you're sporting or rocking or that you purchased for $15 or $20, you know damn well it didn't come from a Nike store or it didn't come through the authentic store when it comes to purchasing, you know, a Minnesota Vikings Xavier Rhodes jersey. You got it from some bootleg guy and it might have a fake swoosh on there. But I think there are a lot of people that don't care. Like, the counterfeit thing, it seems like, is a big deal nowadays. Like, people don't care about a real or fake purse or wallet. Like, for instance, this wallet here. This is real, okay? This is a real Louis Vuitton wallet, okay? That was gifted to me. And I've had this wallet now. You know how long I've had this wallet? I've had this wallet for 12 years.
Wow.
That's good leather.
It looks great.
That's good leather. I've had this Louis Vuitton wallet for 12 years. It is authentic. It's, you know, and it comes with all the, you know, all the stuff from the store. I just can't go out and purchase. I would never, if I walked out of here tonight and there's a guy on the street and he says, "Hey man, I got you, leg. I got that Joe Mauer jersey for you. It ain't real, bro. It looks like the real thing. I'll sell it to you for 10. I can't do it. I would rather go down to Target Field, go to the authentic store, and go ahead and purchase the real thing for a few $100. That's just me. But I think there's a lot of people, there's a part of the population. And look, I know it has to do with your financial situation. Not everybody has money to get the real thing. Some people have to get the replicas or whatever. And the replicas, that's a totally different conversation. But I'm surprised that the counterfeit thing, so many people are into it the way they are.
Yeah, so I'm not quite into jerseys, I think, as much as you are. So to me,
and I'm not into them like that either.
Yeah, but I would never get a jersey that I knew was like imported and is skirting the laws and the taxes about it. I would never do that. But I don't know that I know enough that if I went to an outlet online and saw a jersey for a good deal and bought it, I don't know if I would know enough or if I would do the research to really figure out where that came from.
And
I think that's where a lot of people are, where they go, if you really had to think about it, or I go, is it possible that this is fake? Maybe, but it's a good deal and I can't tell the difference. So I'm just going to kind of la, la, la and buy it. But I would never do it intentionally. But I think that's where a lot of people are. And that's, you know, if you're selling these fake jerseys, you don't advertise necessarily that they're fake. You just, you sell it and people kind of,
you're duping people.
Yeah, but maybe in the back of their mind, they know they're getting duped, but they go,
it's a great deal anyway.
Brush that away and get it anyway.
I'm paying $20 for something that I think looks like it costs a couple $100s.
Yeah.
I'm with you. All right, coming up next, well, the biggest name when it comes to high school basketball in the state of Minnesota committed and gave his commitment to the institution that he's going to go play basketball for next season. And I think that it should be a wake-up call to every Gopher fan out there. We discuss and get to that after, okay, today's top story in 60 seconds here on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, welcome back. Late night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. At the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park, because in just a matter of a couple of weeks, we're going to have the Kentucky Derby weekend, and that means the start of the racing season at Canterbury Park. And I love the horses. I don't know how you feel about the horses, but I love horse racing. I've been a fan for years. And when it comes to horse racing, I got into horse racing, I want to say this is around 2006-ish. And when it comes to studying and diving into horse racing, I just really liked the aspect of studying horses. And what I mean by studying horses is there's something called the daily racing form, okay? And it has basically the past performances of horses. And you can go through and you can kind of look at how they've done. It's almost like, to me, like a scouting report, right? And I can go through and I can evaluate how a horse did during the course of an older race. And based on the odds and based on how they perform, I figure out which horse I want a wager on, right? I love that about the game. So I got into it that way in terms of studying it. And when it comes to the people that helped me with that, Jeff Madej was one. Kevin Gore from FSN was another person. Dark Star, rest in peace, another guy. So I fell in love with horse racing. And then the very first horse that I wagered on in the Kentucky Derby, I crushed. And that was Barbaro. That was my first Kentucky Derby winner, was Barbaro. That was my horse. So we're going to talk to Jeff Madej about some stuff that's going on out of the track as the racing season starts. And we'll talk about some of the horses that are going to be running during the course of the Kentucky Derby. So we'll do that here at 11:05. All right, but the big news of the day here locally when it comes to recruiting in terms of college basketball is that Rochester's Matthew Hurt, he announced his college plans. And he will be attending Duke University. And realistically, people at the last minute didn't think that that was a surprise. Everybody has been saying for about a month that it felt like he was leaning towards Duke. It was going to be either Duke or Kansas. And he ended up selecting Duke. And first off, I want to say to the young man, congratulations. You can't go wrong when you're talking about rocking with the Duke Blue Devils. He's going to go play for Coach K, one of the greatest basketball coaches to ever live. And he's going to have an outstanding point guard that's from here in Trey Jones. Trey Jones announcing last week that he's going back to Duke. Okay? So now we got the Minnesota connection, Trey Jones to Matthew Herb. But I guess the issue for all of us right now is we have to start wondering and start thinking about the state of Golden Gopher basketball. And what is the next step? And how do we go about the business of really getting the recruiting classes upgraded? Now, I know that when it comes to looking at what the Gophers have done two out of the last 3 years, they made the NCAA tournament, and this year they won a tournament game. So they're making the progress. But when it comes to locking down the borders, when it comes to keeping the best players in state, that's not happening. So let's just call it for what it is. That part's not happening. That has to happen. Matthew Hurt, outstanding player. We all anticipate that at some point in time he's going to play in the NBA. Those are the type of players that eventually have to stay in-house. And the pressure should be on Coach Pitino to keep some of that top-tier talent here. Now, without question, I'm going to give Coach Pitino a lot of props because Daniel Turu was a kid that I felt like he could have went to any school in the country and played. And we saw what he was able to do this year for the Golden Gophers. And Daniel's going to have an NBA career. I think he's going to get drafted here. I don't think he's going to play 4 years at the University of Minnesota. Let's just put it like that. Amir Coffey, jump into the league. We'll see if he stays, but jump into the league. Gabe Kelscher, really good shooter. I think potentially when it's all said and done, he's going to have a fabulous career at the University of Minnesota, and he's probably going to be looking at making some money shooting the basketball. But for this program, we got to do a better job of keeping the best players, in Minnesota. And it doesn't mean that you keep every single one, but these are great gets for some of these big-time national programs. Nationally, right now, you know what the PR is? The PR is that Duke has a better pipeline to Minnesota talent than Minnesota has to their own talent. And that's not what you want. That's not how you want people to identify your program. People are looking and saying, man, what? The state of Minnesota basketball, it's off the charts. In the summertime, we're watching the Nike Peach Jam, and we're seeing Howard Pulley playing in the Peach Jam. And we're seeing kids going to Duke and kids playing in the Elite Eight, and kids are playing in the Final Four. And we got Tyus Jones. He's the most outstanding player of a Final Four, and they win a national championship, and he's from Minnesota. It's a good look for our kids. It gives our kids opportunities to go to all different colleges all across the country. But at the end of the day, Gopher fans are going to say, man, what about us? And it's not to say that good kids aren't going to the U. Because like I mentioned, Daniel, and we mentioned Gabe, and then Jarvis. I mean, that was a good class for the Gophers this year. But nationally, people are going to start saying that Duke is getting a better pipeline to Minnesota players than Minnesota is. And I know some of it's due in part to the fact that the Jones kids are brothers, Tyus and Trey. But now Matthew Hurt, he's following. And some people will look and say, well, okay, Matthew went to Duke. His brother's at Minnesota. Why didn't he go play with his brother? If you say that the PR behind it doesn't matter, then you're wrong. You're just flat out wrong. Because all the other kids that are coming up, not just here, but nationally, they pay attention. Kids that are looking to go play at a Big Ten school, they'll say, okay, all right, I'm interested in the Gophers because they're interested in me, but what do their top players in the state think? Kids pay attention to all that stuff. And the best players, they talk when they're on the AU circuit. Why do you you don't think that Trey and Zion, all those guys, were cozy with each other? Of course they were. That's how they all ended up at Duke. That's how they ended up being the rock stars that they were this past year. They wanted to be a part of that crazy atmosphere. So the best thing that can happen right now for Golden Gopher basketball is, even if Richard Pitino can't land the top, top guys, it's hopefully Daniel, Jarvis, and Gabe, they'll be able to sell the Gopher program based off of not just what they say, but also what they do on the court next season in the Big Ten. And so now Richard Pitino, he's turning the page. Hurt's not a part of it. What happens now? What's going to happen for 2020? Is he going to get Jalen Suggs? Is he going to get Dawson Garcia? Who are going to be the players that they're going to end up landing in the future? They got to figure some things out, man. They really do. And I don't think that right now Richard Pitino is under the microscope. But when you have a couple of recruiting classes where people feel like the big one got away, yeah, then boosters will start talking. And people will start talking. Because you can't let too many big fish get away from your state and go on to star and play in the NBA through other programs. All right, coming up next, 420 is upon us. And there's going to be plenty of people, let's just say, enjoying themselves tomorrow. Well, if you're in California, you get offered free ice cream because of weed? I'll explain. We get to that next year on Late Night. I might not be one of those guys that's going to celebrate 420 like David Josephson, but, you know, to each his own, man. That's never been my thing. It's never been my thing. Even back in, and you got to think of it like this. When I was coming up through college, it was in the heyday of Dr. Dre and the Chronic. Like, all that stuff was going on, right? Dr. Dre, the Chronic, Snoop Dogg, and everybody was coming out. And I was never a weed smoker. Never have been. I'm not going to say never will be, because you never know what type of ailments, health-wise, you'll stumble upon. Knock on wood, hopefully I'll never have to partake. But we know that in society, many states have, you know, kind of scale back their thinking when it comes to the use of marijuana, right? So I totally get that. I understand that. I understand it. But I'm a little bit surprised by this. I'm surprised that even though we're in 2019 and people's thoughts and opinions on marijuana usage has changed dramatically in the last decade, I'm a little bit surprised that you see a major company as popular as Ben & Jerry's ice cream is be this supportive and vocal about marijuana use. So Ben & Jerry's is encouraging marijuana usage for a cause, and they're going to use and give out free ice cream to do that. So the Burlington, Vermont-based premium ice cream maker is encouraging users and consumers to use marijuana, which is still illegal in 17 states. Still illegal in 17 states. They have a deal on half-baked ice cream, okay? Have you had that flavor? I've had the flavor before. It's one of their popular flavors.
I don't think I've had that one.
Yeah, it's been out for years.
Okay.
All right, so they have a deal on that particular flavor, half-baked. It's only available in California, though. Okay, that's the stipulation, which was one of the first states to legalize the medical use of the plant in the 90s. Half-baked, that flavor, mix of chocolate and vanilla ice cream infused with pieces of chocolate chip cookie dough and fudge brownies. So this is the deal. The ice cream giant is teaming up with Kalava, a San Jose-based cannabis dispensary, to offer a free pint to people who place orders with the weed company. So they have connected with this company. And if you place orders with the weed company on Friday and Saturday, you get a free pint of half-baked. Now, I'm a little bit surprised that they're marketing the product this way. That's the reason why I even bring this up. Am I surprised that people each and every year partake in 420? No, not at all. But I am surprised at a company like this. And they've been, but you know what, though? I shouldn't really be that surprised. I sit here and I say that I'm surprised because it's marijuana and because it's weed. But I shouldn't really be surprised at Ben & Jerry's, because they do, when it comes to marketing campaigns, this is what they do. They push the envelope. They really do. And they say it's all in the name of criminal justice, according to the ice cream company. The partnership is to raise awareness about inequalities between the people who use pot and those who get incarcerated for doing so. And this is from their official Twitter account. This 420, we're getting real about cannabis justice. Learn more about who's making money, who's being penalized, and why it matters. I know that, DJ, you're not going to be in Colorado tomorrow on 420. You'll be there next weekend. But does this catch you by surprise when it comes to Ben & Jerry's in this campaign? Because initially, at the onset of me seeing this, I said, man, this is getting really public about an issue like this. But then again, it's Ben & Jerry's.
Yeah, you know, as you said, Ben & Jerry's is based in Vermont. And I actually got to go to their headquarters a couple of years ago. And after seeing their headquarters and just how they conduct business there and what their priorities are at Ben & Jerry's, no, this actually doesn't surprise me at all. I think if it were a different company, it would. But mm-hmm. with Ben & Jerry's, no, not really surprised. And I think we'll see lots more of this type of promotion as certain brands that have certain identities want to identify themselves with this movement towards legalizing marijuana in our country.
According to their website, they say, quote, the country as a whole has shifted its perspective on legalization over the years, with 60% of the public now in favor. What's troubling is that the criminal justice system hasn't kept up with the culture, end quote. As more states move towards legalizing marijuana, it's unclear whether Ben & Jerry's will extend the unofficial holiday offering beyond California in the future. So we'll see how they kind of project that out.
I will say, if I can throw in just a quick story, you say, I'm not going to Colorado for 420 this year. Last year, my wife and I booked a last-minute trip to Colorado. Didn't really think about what day it was.
Okay.
And I'm standing in the car rental line, and there is a certain type of clientele that I noticed in this car rental line with me. And I go, man, why is this so busy right now? What's going on? It was the 19th of April, the day before 420, and here I am with my family in Colorado. Didn't even know, didn't even realize. And so I actually was in Colorado a month ago. We were up in the mountains, not down at the festival. But
did you feel like you were in a Nirvana video or something like that?
Yeah.
You were getting ready to go grunge on it, huh?
What were those like old sweatshirts that they used to wear, that like the really old baggy sweatshirt that's kind of scratchy? I forget what those are called, but there was a lot of those.
Oh, you're talking about those? They're like the hoodie with the and they have the I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, somebody would.
I know what you're talking about.
There was a lot of those in Colorado a year ago.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, it's just props to Ben and Jerry's for putting it out there. And for publicly saying that there needs to be continued conversation about the change that's going on in our country.
Yeah.
I think that ultimately, when I look at it, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter who you are. If you think that, marijuana should be illegal across the country, or you think it should be legal everywhere, no matter where you are on that spectrum, this conversation is happening in our country. And just to flee from the whole conversation doesn't do anybody any good. And I think we're going to have to meet together as a country and redecide what we want to do about marijuana.
And a lot of countries have already, I mean, not a lot of countries, but a lot of states have already spoken on
it. Yeah,
yeah. A lot of states have already spoken on it. And so it's all about the other 17 states. Where do they land with it?
Yep.
There will be some states that will say, maybe in the next year or so, they'll say, we'll get on board. And then there'll be other ones that say, no, we're not doing that.
And how can this whole process in our country be done in the most safe and respectful way possible?
Yep. No, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park. Canterbury Park getting ready to open up in just a couple of weeks. The Kentucky Derby is coming up in a couple of weeks. Who are some of the names, some of the participants, and what does Canterbury Park have going on to kick off the season? We'll get to that next year on Lake Night on News Talk 830 WCCO.